Welcome to day 44, Shavua Tov. We are up to Perek Dalet, Mishnah Ches. Now we know the halacha that when something is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, it is not subject, it is not obligated in the mitzvah of Peah. And we learned yesterday that if a farmer consecrates one's produce, if a farmer dedicates one's produce to the Beis HaMikdash, whether or not it is chayiv in the mitzvah of Peah depends on when it was consecrated. If the farmer still owned it at the time in which he became obligated in Peah, which is really the time of Ktsira, the harvest. So if the farmer owned it at the time of harvest, so then he is Chayiv in Peah. But if the Beis HaMikdash owned it during the time of harvest, it would not be Chayiv in Peah. And once we learn that halacha, our Mishnah is going to teach a similar halacha, not regarding Peah. Says the Mishnah, Kayotzebo, similarly, Hamakdish Peirosev ad Shaloba Ola Onas HaMaestros. Imagine a person consecrates one's produce before it becomes obligated in the mitzvah of tithes. Right? We learned earlier that when produce becomes obligated in tithes, that's the moment in which there's Meruah HaKri. The produce is spread out. After it was collected, after it was refined, it then gets spread out. And it's at that moment, when it's spread out, Meruah HaKri, that it becomes obligated in tithes. So if a farmer, or an owner, whatever it is, consecrates one's produce before it gets to that stage, before the obligation sets in, ufa da'an, but then redeems them, gets it back again before it was spread out. So then, chayavin, when eventually is spread out, he will be chayav because he owns it during the time in which it's spread out. Mishabo la'onas ha'maisros, if it already was obligated, they already did meruah hakri, the obligation already set in, then he consecrates it and gives it to the Beis HaMikdash, ufa da'an, and then he gets it back, also chayavin. He is also obligated because when he spread it out, he still owned it. And therefore, even though he gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, when he gets it back, he still has to give maestros. But, hakdishin atshalo nigmaru, if a person consecrated it before it was obligated, right? It was before meruah hakri. The obligation never set in. Ugamaran hagizbar. And then the person in the Beis HaMikdash who oversees this, that person spread it out. That person created the obligation of tithes. V'achar kach padan. And then after that, the owner redeems it and gets it back. Peturin. He's exempt from maestros. Why? Shevashas chovasan haya peturin. Because the moment that it became obligated, the moment that it was spread out, he didn't own it. That spreading out was done by the person in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he consecrated it before it was obligated. It became, or it would have become obligated when it was owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, when he gets it back afterwards, he is not chayav, he is pater. That is Mishnah Ches. Says Mishnah Tes. Misha lakeres ha-peah. Imagine someone is collecting peah, but the person is an ashir, for example. A person is wealthy. A person is not poor, not eligible in the mitzvah of peah. But he picks up peah v'amar, and he says, Harezu l'ish ploni ani, I'm picking this up for this person who's poor, my friend who's poor, I'm acquiring this for him or her. Rabbi Elezer, Omer, Zachalo, it works. So this is generally calling upon the halacha that zachin la'adam shalo b'fanav. It's an important concept throughout Shas, which is the idea that if we know that a person is going to be happy with something, happy with a particular acquisition, we can acquire it for that person. I can pick it up on behalf of someone else. I know the person will be happy, and therefore halachically, that works. I can acquire it on behalf of someone else. That is called zachia. And that's why this says zachalo, it works. Picking up for that other person. We'll expand upon that in a moment. But there is a dissenting view. The Chachamim Omrim, itenu la'ani shenimtza rishon. Actually, it didn't work. You could not, the usher, the wealthy person, did not acquire it for the person that he had in mind, and therefore it is still obligated to be given to the poor, and therefore he has to give it to the first poor person that he sees. So what's going on here? So the Chachamim say, the general rule is, Zechiah, of course, works. The concept of acquiring something for someone else that we know the person will want works. But it only works if the person could technically acquire it for oneself. Right? So in this case, if let's say there was an ani, let's say there was a poor person who picked up peah and said, I'm acquiring this for my fellow ani, for my fellow poor person, then it works. Because the person, migo is a halachic term that means since. The halachic term says that migo, since the person could have picked it up for oneself, therefore is also allowed to acquire it for someone else. And the Chachamim agree with that, right? Zechiah works, but only if you could have done it for yourself. In the case with the usher, they would say, the usher cannot have picked it up for himself because he's not eligible in pay. It's only for the poor, and therefore he cannot acquire it for someone else. What about the first opinion? The first opinion would say, right, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer would say that, Rabbi Eliezer, I just had to double check that. The opinion of Rabbi Eliezer would say that actually there's a double migu in place. Because technically, the usher, migu, since he could have made himself poor, he could have gotten rid of all of his possessions, he could have made all of his possessions ownerless, Therefore, he could technically have become an Ani, and because he'd become an Ani, then you can invoke that second Nigo. Then, since he could have picked it up for himself, he could have picked it up for someone else. The Chacham say you can't do a double Nigo, so to say. You can't say since and since. At that moment, he needs to have been able to acquire it for himself, and only then is he able to acquire it for someone else. And finally, Halakid Vashicha Vapeya Shal Nachri Chayev V'maisros. Right, leket and shechah and peah. We know that a non-Jew is not obligated in those three mitzvahs of leket, shechah, and peah. They're not obligated in those mitzvahs. They're not required to do it. But let's say they decided to. A very holy non-Jew wanted to leave portions of his field aside for the poor. So it says chayev b'maisros. It's actually chayev in tithes. The aniyim, the poor who pick it up, actually have to give tithes. Why? Because we know that generally when it comes to peah, the ani does not need to give tithes, right? Tithes are exempt from the mitzvah. A peah is exempt from the mitzvah of tithes. Now, the nachri, the non-Jew, is doing a very, very generous thing by allowing allowing the poor to come by and take the produce for themselves. But because the nachri is not actually obligated in peah, therefore it doesn't take on the full status of peah. And because it doesn't have the full status of peah, even though it's a very kind and generous thing to do, the ani is still required to give tithes because that's not full-fledged peah that he's picking up. So he would have to pay tithes. Ela imkein hifkir, unless the non-Jew decides to make it mafkir, make it ownerless. If he makes it ownerless, we learned earlier that anything that's ownerless is also not chayev in peah. So if the non-Jew says that this corner of my field is hefker, is eligible, anyone can take it, rich, poor, anyone can take it, then whoever picks it up does not have to give tithes. But if he leaves it just for the poor, then he's basically saying that this is specifically peah, but because it's not full-fledged peah, the person would still have to pay tithes, and we will pick up with Mishnah Yud tomorrow.